you're not being polarizing. You're not sharing, because in this world, it is a fact that I promise you, if you show up 100% who you are, there are going to be people that do not align with you, and that's okay. And if you don't never have anyone that's ever written a bad article about you or said something or a comment on your post, but like, no, then guess what? You're not showing up. And I'm sorry, you might not like me for telling you that too, but that's just a sheer fact. We live in a world that that's just how things are. People have their own opinions and everyone's allowed that.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
And welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. Welcome back, my wonderful audience. Thank you guys for coming back week after week. I love the fact that you guys have conversations with me, that you email me at ben@yourbrandmarketing.com, that you tell me on social media, mostly on LinkedIn, what do you guys think of the show? What do you like? What you don't like? What do you want to see next? And that always gives me impetus to bring amazing, wonderful guests on the show. And this week, I'm going to have Joshua B. Lee. He goes by Josh, but the LinkedIn persona is Joshua B. Lee. So we got to get that right, so you can find him on LinkedIn. He is the author of a book called Balance is Bullshit. Now, it's why work-life balance is a myth. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about human-to-human engagement, and we're going to talk about creating real conversations. So Josh, welcome to the show.
And man, I'm excited to be able to have this conversation and be able to kind of hear the feedback, as you said, you know, from everyone on LinkedIn, because that's what I hope for. The same time, everyone listening, I hope that you reach out to Ben, tell us what we talked about today, and reach out to me too, because you and I already had such an amazing conversation, like our pre-conversation about this. I can't imagine what we're about to get into now.
Well, exactly. And you know what? If we get into things and we get a little bit raw, we get a little bit, you know, a little bit politically incorrect in somebody's viewpoint, it's never meant to offend. It's meant to sit there and say, hey, listen, this is our point of view. This is something that we're thinking about. These are challenges that we have. We get that everybody's different. We get that we're dealing with human beings. But when you're dealing with human and human engagement, when you're creating real conversations, we need to realize that not everybody thinks the same way. Not everybody reacts the same way. And I really want to have that conversation. So, Josh, why don't we start off by you giving me an idea of what brought you to the table? Where did you come from and how did you get to where you are right now?
Ben, you know, it's an interesting story. You know, I could easily go back into all the way into like elementary school, right? You know, like where my mom and dad were like, oh, you know, I got in trouble for selling candy out of my locker. But, you know, that's a longer
story. But that
story.
Was entrepreneurial. So we'll go with that.
Very entrepreneurial starting out. You know, I started my first company about 20 years ago in 2002, 2003 in the online advertising space. I was kind of blessed and cursed to be able to have clients that were fairly well known at the time, like MySpace, Google, Yahoo, and really being able to monetize a lot of the internet. And as I said, blessed and cursed. I mean, I was in my early 20s. So like, it's amazing to be able to have those clients, but at the same time, as a young man in today's world or back then, you make a lot of dumb mistakes. So I learned a lot about that work-life balance and what it was and what it was not. And that's kind of what led me today from building multiple different companies and going through a divorce, resetting my life at 36 and restarting with a little bit under $1,000 to my name in my parents' room. So, you know, my parents' house, I should say, not my parents' room.
Well, I was hoping that it wasn't a one room house. Hopefully there was
No. They definitely would have let me in there. I mean, my parents like me. I'm an only child, but I can tell you that you don't get away that much.
Well, listen, my parents got divorced in 92 while I was away in university, you know, and both of them made the point that says, we have no room for you to come home. You know, and that was made perfectly clear to me by both of my parents as I was away at university. You know what? You're on your own. When you graduate, you're going to find your own place to live because there's no room for you to come back.
You know, and Ben, I thought the same thing, and I truly was, you know, blessed to be able to have that opportunity that they did, you know, take me back in, because I was trying to be able to save my children at the time, you know, time, right? Because the lawyers were going in, they're like, this is going to take 3 years. Cause I was running 10 companies at the time. And honestly, I was a mess overall just because I was doing that. And that's what led to the divorce. But I wanted to be able to realize that, you know, we can almost make more money. We can't make more time. And that's what I was trying to achieve by walking away from everything and restarting that life.
Well, and we all have resets. We all have gone through periods of our life where things have not gone exactly the way we planned. You know, we all make plans and then God laughs. You know, and I really, truly believe that the world is in such a place where we sit there and go, you know what? Here is an idea. Here's a plan. Here's, you know, I'm going in full guns out. Everything's working properly. Everything's great. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something hits us. And the more that we have people that know, like, and trust us, people that we can rely on, you know, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's, you know, a great boss, somebody that you can sit there and say, I'm hurting. You know, I'm in trouble. Something happened. You know, my life is not going the way that I want. I need help. And the fact that we have those people in our lives that can sit there and say, you know what, let me let you walk on my shoulders for a bit and have those people in our lives, those are the amazing people that we'll never forget.
Well, you'll figure out how they shake out too, Ben. I mean, when the money goes away, you know, because like, as I was going through, you know, outside looking in, everyone's like, oh, he's living the perfect life. He's got the house, the kids, the money, the cat, you know, the business, all the other stuff. You know, my relationships were monetary. I was 45 pounds overweight and I had no vision about where I was going. I just knew where I was at. Everything was this work and play, right? This work-life balance that we were trying to achieve. And, you know, really towards the end of it, once I did that reset, a lot of people just disappeared out of my life because I wasn't paying for things anymore. And, but it was amazing when I finally, this is a hard lesson for me to learn, you know, my perception of everyone else's perception of me is what was driving me crazy. I want everyone to understand that our perception, what other people's perception is, what usually drives everyone crazy. We can have no clue what someone else's perception of us is unless they tell us.
Or we actually ask them.
Unless we ask them. But the problem is half of us don't ever ask. And so I was all like, oh, well, everyone perceives me as this still, but I wasn't that person. And it was still driving me down. Not until I went in and I went to some of my closest friends and said, look, this is what happened. This is where I've been. This is where I'm at. And they're like, yeah, we know. We're just waiting for you to be able to realize it and tell us. We got you. And it was amazing how my life shifted the next day. That weight that I had on my shoulder that we, I'll tell you, as men, as entrepreneurs, as humans, that we put on ourselves to be able to hold this weight by ourselves is so heavy. But when you release that and allow others in, it's amazing how it can actually change your life.
Well, that's a trick. I mean, and more men than women. Women are great. Women, for the most part, you know, and you know, a lot of men too, are able to ask for help a lot easier. They're able to sit there and lean on their friends, where a lot of guys, we're taught that our job is to figure it out, is to make it right, to suck it up, to move forward, and that's it. And that's a really hard thing to break. And I think that, you know, I take it from a personal point of view, I'm sure you do as well, that we all sit there and say, you know what, we can't let other people see our weakness. We can't let other people see that we're hurting, that we're imperfect, that we have challenges like other people, because we're the person in our mind that they're the ones that are looking up to. And we can't let people down. And people are far more perceptive than we give them credit for. And people are far more intuitive than we give them credit for. And the more we can sit there and say, okay, I'm a leader, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm this, that, their thing, I'm not perfect. You know, I have no desire to be perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. There is no such thing as the perfect life. And the more we can figure that out, the better off we're all going to be. So what brought you there? And you know, what brought you to the, you know, the balance is bullshit and to write the book and rewrite the book or what, you know, and have those conversations to get it to the point where you're sitting there going, ah, okay, this is why I believe what I believe.
You know, I mean, the book was based on what I was going through. I mean, I remember, Ben, the reason why I started even had the book in mind and wanted to go through, I remember when I had my son. My son's 12 now. And so when I had my son, I stopped going in my office and I wanted to be a stay-at-home dad. I wanted to be not stay at home. I still worked at the house, but I wanted to be around, right? I didn't want to be that absent father. And so when I was at the house, you know, I always had my office doors open. No matter how young my son was, I always wanted him to be able to hear the things that I was saying. Because if I couldn't say them, no matter what age he is in front of him, probably shouldn't be saying them at all. And, you know, at a certain point, Ben, my office door is shut. And I remember just with everything else that was going on in my life, and that office not only became a sanctuary for me, but a coffin that I would just stare at the wall day in and day out as the company ran. Luckily, I had enough amazing people to keep the company running, but it contemplating my own life. And, you know, not till a good friend of mine knew what I was going through kind of gave me permission not only to take my own life back, but also give my former ex her life as well. Did things start changing? And that's kind of where the book kind of goes through, because like you said, we're taught so many things, like all these things that I was holding on to that I tried to quote unquote shield and protect the family from that I was going through were just weights that were hitting on me that were honestly affecting a relationship and other things. And, you know, I'm not going to say that it was all me or all her, it was mutual, right? That kind of goes through. And this is what really pushed me to write the book. So I was like, God, I didn't write the book for anyone else other than me, because I wanted to go in and share all the things that I was taught that if I told someone that I made a $1.3 million bet on some software that ended up costing me almost $10 million over the year, people go, I'm not doing business with Josh. He's crazy. You know, because I mean, I made that bet at the casino in Vegas, at the Palms Casino. I was at the Playboy Hotel, and I was with a buddy of mine, and I was doing stupid guy things, which is like, he just sold his company. He's like, oh, well, you know what? I can sell you the source code for this. And, you know, we're sitting there trying to measure who's bigger and stuff like that, you know, on the card table. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, sure. And I just did something without due diligence, and I made a decision. And again, not only not being able to show our weaknesses, but also I was taught, raised in Texas, you're a man of your word. So when you tell someone that you're going to do business with them, you continue to move forward no matter how it shakes out. So these were things that I shared, like going through, that I was like, maybe if I open up and I'm more vulnerable about some of the quote unquote mistakes that were really learning opportunities for me, maybe it'll help somebody else. And that's kind of where the book was born.
And I think most books, most good books at least, are more cathartic for the person who's the author and more, you know, allow us to create insights into our own souls than they are for other people. Yes, we really want to share the information. I'm the same way. But I find that, you know, a good book, a good, well-written book gives you really a view into somebody's soul. And what are the things, the lessons that they learned? How did they move beyond the ashes and rise again? And the lessons that they learned from it? That's the magic, is that we need to give ourselves permission to fail, because we're all going to fail. As I tell every customer that I said, this is, look, today you love me. Today I am the best person. You love me. You think that is. Sooner or later, I'm going to make a mistake. The difference is, if I make a mistake, I'm going to tell you I made a mistake, and we're going to fix it together. And, you know, for me, that's the important thing, is for people not to see me as infallible, but rather, I'd rather be known as somebody that's going to own up to my mistakes and fix them and make things right. And,
you know, I think, Ben, I think a lot of those things too, like I love how you say that, because it's so, so important for people to realize, because how I was actually being able to stay in business 02 to now. And I had so many people in the online advertising that they were the one hit wonders. They made a whole bunch of money. They screwed people over. They left, was because I always answered the phone. I always owned my mistakes, owned whatever happened, kind of went through. I mean, look, we went through a whole bunch of different things throughout those years. Now, the crazy thing is, I knew that to do with that in business, I forgot to do that as a person. And that's some of our upbringing, right? What we're taught as men. And then you add the entrepreneur thing on there as well, which puts you, like most people go, well, I'm in this silo, I'm all alone. We're not. There's so many of us. We just have to be able to open up.
So let's push that into creating real conversations. Because I'm a big believer today that people are terrified about having real conversations, whether that be on social media, whether it be on the phone, on Zoom, wherever it is. People are afraid to let their real soul out and to say what they really want to say, because in a world of diversity and inclusion, of politically correctness and stuff like that, and all that kind of stuff to a point is important. And, you know, don't get me wrong. There are certain things that just should never be said and are not acceptable. But we get to a point where the question is, can I say that? You know, can I say the word bullshit? You know, and, you know, for people who are offended about bullshit, sorry, the book is called Bullshit. But we need to be able to sit there and say, I disagree with you vehemently. I don't agree with what you say. And this is why it is. And for it to not be seen as a personal attack, but to be seen as you're disagreeing with a person's point of view. And I think that those real conversations are becoming more and more challenging for people to have today.
Yeah, but Ben, this is what we have to realize. No matter what we say, no matter whatever conversation, how people make decisions. And I think this is the biggest thing that people don't understand. People make decisions, no matter how we are, as a human beings, we make decisions based on some degree of love or hate, right? That is the only way. We are emotional beings. We do not make decisions on being indifferent towards something. If you are indifferent in a conversation, if you are indifferent online, if you are indifferent in a relationship, all you're doing is wasting their time and yours. And that is the one resource we do not get back. So once we realize that we have to be who we are and that people are going to love us or hate us as long as we are real, then we can move forward. But the problem is everyone's so scared of being loved or hated. Both spectrums, but it's going to happen.
Well, there are people that love me. There are people that hate me. And that's reality. But the truth of the matter is, of the 7.5 billion people in the world, 99.999% of the people don't even know exist and probably never will. You know, I've got a healthy social media following. There's a lot of people that follow me. Great. However, it's insignificant based on what, you know, what the real world is and the number of people who are out there. I can only help so many people. I can only solve so many problems. I need to sit there and say, this is what I stand for. This is what I believe. This is the work that I do. This is the work that I don't do. And if I can't help you, I'm sorry, but let me point you to somebody who can. And I think there's not enough people out there, as you said, that are willing to say, this is who I am. This is what I do. And this is what I believe, and accept that and realize that some people just aren't going to like that.
But you know what, Ben, it is so much easier to be 100% you 100% of the time on and offline, trying to remember who you're supposed to be. Like even the, like we introduced, like Joshua B. Lee is the online persona. It's no different than who I am offline. It's just basically for SEO purposes, people know who I am and can be able to search. But I mean, outside of that, I'm not trying to be anyone different. I show up, you know, like no one's watching this right now, but in my t-shirt, right? We're just hanging out. We're having a good conversation.
But I am jealous of your hair. I want your hair. So
I'm not going to put on a suit and tie and be like, oh, look at me. Right. I mean, there's these certain things. Like I remember, Ben, this one time. So my wife, who now is my business partner, you know, before she came on with the Standard Authority, I talked to her about, like, I tell the clients, because I have worked with some amazing individuals that are very well known. But in my world, they are well known. If I said their names, people would go, oh my God, you work with them? That's amazing. Wow. But if I go outside of that, and she goes, because she worked with Microsoft and she worked at Gartner and these big companies, she goes, I guarantee you, if you go in and say Dan Sullivan or Joe Polish or John Maxwell, they're going to be like, who? Maybe John Maxwell. He's a little bit, you know, more people know him. But for the most part, outside of our little, he goes, your world is so small. So realize that you can be the best in your world. And that's okay. You can be amazing. But outside of your world, people might not know you. And that's okay too.
Exactly. There are people out there who have no idea who Joe Rogan is or Tim Ferriss or Seth Godin. You know, these are people with millions and millions of followers, you know, and there are, I will guarantee you there is a good portion of the world that have no idea who these people are without context, you know. And the truth is, even those people at that level, which is beyond where you and I are, there's people that like them and there's people who don't like them. And it's not going to keep them from being who they are. They're not going to sit there going, oh, Ben Baker doesn't like me, so I'm going to change my persona. You know, I'm going to change my persona because, oh my God, Ben Baker doesn't like me. Guess what? If Ben Baker doesn't like me, so I'm going to move on because this is who I am. And I think we need to be at that level. It doesn't matter if we have 5 friends or 5 million friends. You know, we need to be who we are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to have super fans, you got to have haters. You're not going to ever have super fans without haters. I'm sorry to say it. And what you've got to be able to do with those haters, you got to drink that haterade, you know, really got to drink it down, because that's the only way for people to be able to stand up. But like, I don't like what he says about Ben Baker. I'm going to stand up for him. Boom. There's your super fan, because now they're like, well, I align with him. And now someone else is saying, so that's the only way we can truly be able to go in. Because if you don't have haters, you're not being your true self. You're not being polarizing. You're not sharing, because in this world, it is a fact that I promise you, if you show up 100% who you are, there are going to be people that do not align with you. And that's okay. And if you don't never have anyone that's ever written a bad article about you or said something or a comment on your post, but like, no, then guess what? You're not showing up. And I'm sorry, you might not like me for telling you that too, but that's just a sheer fact that we live in a world that that's just how things are. People have their own opinions and everyone's allowed that.
Hi, everyone. Do you want to be your best customer's vendor of choice? Do you want to cement relationships with them, add real value, and gain insights that your competitors just can't get? Go to podcasthostforhire.com. That's podcasthostforhire.com. And let's work together to make you the value vendor of choice. I forget whose quote it is, but somebody says, if you really want everybody to love you, sell ice cream. And the truth of the matter is, there's going to be somebody that really wants Rocky Road and you're out of Rocky Road that day. Guess what? There's going to be somebody that's going to hate you because you're out of Rocky Road. That's the world that we live in. And we need to get to a point in our lives where we're comfortable with that. You know, and that's a really, really difficult place for most people to be, to realize there's somebody out there who dislikes me. There's somebody out there who may not hate you, but really doesn't want to be in the same room as you, or doesn't want to, you know, drink your Kool-Aid or listen to what you have to say because it doesn't resonate to what their worldview is all about. But the only, there's only two ways that you could do that is A, be vanilla. If you could be vanilla and then you're basically nobody to anybody because you're not offending anybody. So nobody hates you, but nobody loves you.
Nobody knows you half the time.
Nobody knows you. Or you could be that person in the office that says, you know what? I disagree with something and this is why. And it's not about raising your voice and it's not about being bombastic and it's not about being argumentative. It's about giving that logical opinion about why you disagree with the conventional opinion that everybody else has and be able to sit there and go, look, because of this, this, and this, this is not going to work. And people will respect you for it. Some people may not like it, that, you know, because you just, you know, told them that their baby is ugly. But guess what? If it's an ugly baby and nobody steps up and says that that baby is ugly, everybody's going to continue to say, yeah, that's a wonderful looking baby. And the world isn't going to agree with you.
But that's the only way we can create change. I mean, like, you're 100% correct in that, because I mean, if as entrepreneurs, I think entrepreneurs have more ability to be able to change the world than anyone else. Right. And I mean, like, but as human beings, we all have the ability to be able to make change and shifts, and we have to be able to be confident. There's not enough doing that. I mean, we see this time in, time out all the time, that people are sitting back like, oh, I can't believe that happened. Well, did you say anything? Did you do anything? Well, no, I mean, I didn't want to cause waves. Well, that's the only way that, look at the Grand Canyon. I mean, like, it was a river, a very small stream that created over time, that created a great massive shift in the world, right? That created that Grand Canyon. It didn't happen. Each one of us is a ripple in this world. Now, all these ripples add up. Every ripple can become a tidal wave. But we've got to have multiple ripples to be able to do that. And that's how we actually can create that change. And that's what we have to understand. Everyone has power. Do you choose to use it day in and day out?
And you may not change the world, but you're going to change your part of the world, or at least influence it.
Yeah. Within
your either reach. Positively or negatively, you have the ability every single day to either positively or negatively change the world around you. And it's up to you to decide which way you're going to go. But either way, you're going to leave a ripple. So my question to you is, and we've gone out through this in a bunch of different ways, is how do we help those people? How do we help those people get out of their shell and realize that their opinion matters? Because that's what it all crux down to, it is for you to believe that whoever you are, whatever you do in the world, that you have an opinion that matters and your voice has just as much resonance as anybody else's. So how do we help these people, you know, find their voice and be better at who they are?
All right. Well, let me just lay it out like this, Ben, because I think this is an easy thing that I started doing to be able to change who I was, work with some of my clients as well, too. I talked about in the book. But the biggest thing that I think is the average person does not end their day feeling accomplished. And it's rare. And how we go to bed is how we wake up. If we go to bed feeling unaccomplished, we're not going to wake up with excitement and joy to be able to start the next day, to be able to be that voice, that power of change. So what really shifted me was not only how I go to bed, but how I wake up. So like when I wake up in the morning, some of the first things, the most things, what they do is they reach for their phone. Most people, the first thing they do when they're setting precedence that the outside world is more important than them. They're giving everyone is giving your power away. The world didn't stop spinning. The world isn't on fire. Your business didn't explode. You would have got a call for that. I promise you're not going to find it.
3 o'clock in the morning, your phone would have rang. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I promise you, if something really traumatic happened, your phone's going to ring. You're not going to find out an email that your company just went under, right? It's just rare that that's going to happen. You're probably going to get a phone call going, or something happened dramatic in your life. So it's okay to give it a little time and don't reach for that phone. And as we kind of go in, like I start my day every morning, Ben, by not reaching for my phone for that first hour, first 2 hours, right? However long I can be able to go it. And then, you know, investing in myself through either meditation, through being able to journal, being able to spend time with my kids and working out, like being able to give myself that power to be able to go through the day is a massive shift. Now, how I actually be able to make sure that I finish my day feeling accomplished no matter what is what I do next after all that. I reach for that phone. The first thing I do is I turn the video camera on, and we all have a phone now that has it. Now, Ben, have you ever, I mean, I'm sure at some point in time, you've made a to-do list, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Most people have, right? What's the value of that to-do list once you've made it?
To me, it's being able to accomplish it. It's to sit there and say, these are the goals. This is what's important. This is what I need to accomplish. And then be able to take things off one at a time to be able to sit there and say, yes, okay. Of the 6 or 8 things that I needed to accomplish today, I was able to get, you know, the big rocks done. I'm a big believer of go for the big rocks, get those, and then we're going to go smaller rocks all the way down to the sand in the bottom of the barrel.
Love that. But a lot of times for a lot of people, they wrote it down on a piece of paper, and the value of that piece of paper is still a piece of paper. So it doesn't hold them accountable. It's just some words on a piece of paper. And that's where I want to be able to see people shift. So like with my phone, as humans, the more that we actually use our senses, the more of our senses that we use, the more it engages us, right? So how do we actually do that? I pick up my phone and I think of 5 things that I need or can't. I kind of switch it a little bit because I want to know, I still make the list for the things, like you said, the big boulders, but I want to make sure that I feel I get that accomplishment each and every day. So what are the 5 things that I know? And I start off low and then we continue to graduate up. The 5 things that I can accomplish no matter without a shadow of a doubt that day, right? Is it waking up, giving my kids a hug, walking the dog, right? Being able to go through, you know, doing 2 pushups, right? Just starting somewhere to be able to kind of change, right? I mean, I've got people that are like I said that I'm going to use the restroom once a day. Well, awesome, man. Like if you could accomplish that, that's good. That's healthy. So these are the things. So like pick up your phone and say, Josh, today you are going to do X, Y, and Z. At the end of the video, I go, Josh, congratulations on accomplishing what you said you were going to do today. The beautiful thing about this is I've recorded this, right? And at the end of the day, before I go to bed, I watch that video again and I can hear myself. I can see myself because we hold ourselves more accountable than anybody else in this world. And so if we can actually accomplish these things for ourselves and feel like we are accomplished with ourselves, we can tell ourselves something, we can tell anyone anything, and it won't hold us as much. So you're going in, you're practicing being able to speak to yourself. So it helps you be able to speak to the world. And 2, you're being able to see yourself every single day. So Ben, congratulations on accomplishing the goals that you set out for today. You go to bed and you wake up the next day, you have more energy, you have more spice, you have more intensity to be able to start that next day and start changing the world. So that's just a little something that I do on a regular basis that has really shifted and given me more perspective on what I need to accomplish each day and actually be able to like talk to others and be me 100% of the time.
And do you think that the fact that people put put too many things on their to-do list keeps them from being the person that they need to be, because they're so inundated that they don't focus on the things that they can do. They focus on the things that don't happen.
Well, that's the whole thing, right? It's the Holy Grail. We want to put it up there, put it on a pedestal, and it's better to covet something and appreciate what it is than actually achieve it and realize that it wasn't what we had hoped it to be. So that's as human beings, it's better to covet what might be rather than to actually try to achieve that and realize it wasn't all we thought it was going to be and be let down.
So I want to be mindful of your time, and this is important. So I want to sit there and say there's two more questions. In terms of human-to-human engagement, what's the one thing you think that is keeping people from being human to each other? And what's the one thing that people can think of to be more human with those that they engage with?
The biggest thing I want to be able to shift everyone's mindset, especially, you know, in business, online, as we go through, we always hear these terms of, is this business to consumer or business to business, right? We're always hearing like, I'm going to say it's neither, right? The shift that we have to be able to understand is every company is run by another human being. Most marketers have just forgotten that. Every person on the other side is another human being. So everything we do is more H to H, human to human. And if we can actually shift that perspective, if you're a salesperson out there trying to be able to get a sale, well, are you treating the person that you want to be treated? It's the golden rules. The things that I do and go through are just the things that my mother taught me how to be able to treat another human being. I'm just remembering to do that online. And that's what we all have to be able to take into consideration. How would we, if I don't like to get cold calls and cold emails, why would I do that to somebody else? Right? Because I mean, I'm just going to get what I put out there. So at the same point, like, how do we actually be more human online? Be okay with it. Share your story. Reach out to someone. Treat them how you would want to be treated. I'm not giving any new information. This is something that golden rules that we were taught as children from as far back as I can remember. We just have to remember that even in a world that we don't see someone physically, we see them online and we talk to them online, they're still another human being. And that's what we have to get through everyone's mind. It's not a number. It's not just a blank person on the other side of the screen. It's real people.
I love it. And before I let you go, and one last question, it's Joshua B. Lee. The company is Standout Authority. The book is Balance is Bullshit. You know, so people can find you wherever they want to, because, you know, people are going to want to, you know, find out more about you. They're going to want to connect with you. They're going to want to think more about this, because you're right. It's all about how we engage as human beings. And I think that that's really the key thing. And that leads me down to my last question. When you leave a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
That I was present, right? I mean, that's almost the biggest thing. I want them to remember, like, of course, I've got the hair. Everyone can't see on the hair. So, you know, everyone goes, oh man, look at Josh's hair. I love the hair, but like no one's like, there's just listen to us right now. So like in a meeting at the same point, I really want everyone to understand, like when I leave a meeting, the biggest thing that I want people to remember was that I was there, I was present, and I was there for a mutual agreement, right? No matter what it is, two people have to come together. The only way diamonds are formed are where two opposing forces come together with the same intensity and force. If that doesn't happen, diamonds aren't formed. That's the only way we can actually create those. So that's what I want someone that I showed up as much as they showed up, if not more, each and every time. And I think if we actually remember that we can't just go to a meeting and go, oh, well, I'm here. Like if it's not a win-win, if it's a win-lose or a lose-win, whatever, or lose-lose, that's not a win. The only way we all win is when it's a win-win for each person. If everybody walks away and go, man, enjoyed that conversation, or he's a good human being, that's it. I don't care if they did business with me or not. I just want to know that we actually appreciated who I was and what I stood for.
Well, that's what it's all about. It's about enabling us to understand each other, to value each other, to listen to each other. And I love the fact that you're purposeful. I love the fact that you care about human beings. I love the fact that you want people to see you as engaged in showing up. So Josh, thanks for being such a great guest. Thanks for the conversation. And thanks for giving some wisdom to my audience.
Ben, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed the conversation today.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at YourLivingBrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, We help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?